Now, John chapter 1, begin with me in verse 6. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. Now you'll notice that light is a capital L. That all men through him, through the light, might believe. And he was not that light. John's not the light, so he's bearing witness of a light. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Now, I want to stop there. The context doesn't stop there, but I don't want to get into what's in the rest of it. What I want to find out is he came to his own. So let's see if we can find out who the he is to start with. He said that John came for a witness. Now, let's do it like this. Here's John the Baptist. Now, if I can figure out who John the Baptist was sent to, I can figure out who he's talking about here, who this other man, the one that's called the light, was sent to. So let's check out John the Baptist. Take two passages. Take Luke chapter 1 and Acts chapter 13. Luke 1 and Acts 13. Now listen, if you have a question or something you want to talk about there, context of what we're doing this morning, feel free to ask, and we'll study this thing. Now, in Luke chapter 1, the context is about the birth of Jesus Christ and John the Baptist. Well, Zacharias is John the Baptist's father. He's a priest. He's in the office doing the service of a priest, and the angel of the Lord appears unto him and tells him his wife is going to conceive and bear a son. They're going to call his name John. Now, go to verse, this is after the birth of John the Baptist, verse 67. And his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. Now listen, anytime you see his people in a King James Bible, I ain't talking about New King James, I'm talking about 1611 King James Bible, when you see his people, my people, it's a reference to Israel. Verse 67, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. Well, who is he talking about? Who is Zacharias the priest talking about? He's talking about Israel, ain't he? That's clear. He didn't say anything about blessed be the Lord God of the church, the body of Christ, did he? No. And listen, I don't have to make you of the house of Israel to show you your salvation and why Jesus Christ came into the world. That's the issue that we need to straighten out here this morning, is who Jesus Christ came to. Now, verse 69. And hath raised up unto an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. Now I want you to remember what some of these things you're reading here, because they're going to come up in a little later here. Now, go to Acts chapter 13. The Apostle Paul has been saved. He's given his testimony. In Acts 13, start with me in verse 16. Y'all come on in. In Acts 13, verse 16. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
In Acts 13, verse 16. Then Paul stood up and beckoned with his hand and said, Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give honor. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers, exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with a high arm brought them out of it. And he goes on to give Israel's history. Come down to verse 22. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. Now watch what verse 24 says real close. When John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. So here's John the Baptist. John the Baptist was sent. If you'll let me use this term, as far as they knew, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John was the fulfillment of Malachi. God said in Malachi, well, go back to Malachi. You can hold Luke 1, go to Malachi. If you got Matthew, back up one book, throw it in the front. Malachi chapter 3. Verse 1. Behold, I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, I know who this messenger is. This is John the Baptist. Go to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Let's see what John the Baptist is doing. Might as well go ahead and take... Can you get two other passages while you're at it? Can you get Matthew 11 and Matthew 17? Matthew 11, Matthew 17. Y'all know I like to use a lot of scripture because that's the way you find out truth about what's going on. Now, Mark 1, Matthew 11, and Matthew 17. We'll start in Mark chapter 1. Verse 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as is written in the prophets. Now you'll notice that's plural. If you have a bad translation, and there are multi-millions of them in the world today, it will say prophet. Well, there's two prophecies that you're fixing to read, and they ain't all in one book. Part of it's in Malachi and part of it's in Isaiah. Now, Mark 1, verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets. Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before me. Now, you just read that in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. You'll find that in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. So if you got a book that says prophet, you can't find both of these prophecies in one prophet. You got to have prophets. You understand? Prophets, plural. Now verse 4. John did baptize in the wilderness, preach a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Who did Paul say John baptized in Acts 13 that we read? Y'all done forgot? Go back to Acts 13 now. Let's just see.
Jesus.
Israel. Look at it. Now you can't miss that. John the Baptist was not sent to the church, the body of Christ. Beloved, John the Baptist was in the power and the spirit of Elijah. He was preparing the way for the Lord. Jesus Christ is 6 months younger than John the Baptist.
his cousin, if you please. Listen, John the Baptist was sent from God to prepare the way for the Lord. John the Baptist is baptizing Israel. Acts 13, verse 24, when John had first preached before his coming. Not John's coming. John couldn't have preached before he got here, could he? So he's preaching before Jesus Christ coming. He's preparing the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. He is, as far as they know, the fulfillment of Isaiah 40 and Malachi chapter 3. So there's two prophecies there. One's in Isaiah 40, the other's in Malachi chapter 3. Now we're going to see that the Lord verifies this. Now, in Acts 13, 24, when John had first preached before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of the world. Now, your Bible didn't say that, did it? Well, let's see if it said this. When John had first preached before his coming, the baptism of repentance to the church, the body of Christ. Well, jolly, let's read it like it means it says, and let's believe it means what it says. When John had first preached before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. Now go to Matthew chapter 11, Matthew chapter 17. I'm about to figure out who his own is. John chapter 1, you ain't forgot what we read in verse 11, have you? He was sent to his own, and his own received him not. Beloved, he wasn't sent to the church, the body of Christ. The church, the body of Christ, didn't start until the salvation of the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9. You understand? Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul, the Lord appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus, and he gave him a dispensation. He told Paul, said, Paul, I died for all your sins. Now, go you preach this to people in the world. That when I died at Calvary, I died for their sins according to the Scriptures. Now, when you study Romans to Philemon, you must rightly divide Paul's epistles. Because Paul later on, the Lord appeared to the Paul in Acts chapter 18 and then gave him a ministry and said, I'm going to send you far hence to the Gentiles. Gentiles like us that are not in the covenants of promise. You do know that John the Baptist was a promise, don't you? You do know that John the Baptist was fulfilling prophecy and Jesus Christ is fulfilling prophecy of Old Testament scriptures that starts all the way back here in Genesis chapter 3. God said to Satan, I'll put an enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. And in Galatians chapter 3, Jesus Christ is that seed. So Satan been after God's seed ever since day one. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, verse 15, Moses said to them people, the Lord your God shall raise unto you a prophet like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say to you. In John chapter 7, Jesus Christ is that prophet. You'll find that in John 7, verse 35 through about verse 40. He is that prophet. So John the Baptist is preparing the way, but John the Baptist ain't preaching to people that ain't in the covenants of promise. You understand? Paul's the only one that. And when Paul told them people that he was going to go to people such as us, they said, away with you, it ain't fit that you should live. You know why? You know why people get so bent out of shape about that? because they can't find it wrote down in the Old Testament scriptures. And wild character that wants to believe that he's a grace preacher still keep you in the covenants of promise. I don't know. I ain't got no inkling of why they want to do that. God Almighty said, you are not in the covenants of promise. If I'm in the covenants of promise, everybody in the world was always in the covenants of promise and always will be. And Paul wrote to some people, he said, you are not in the covenants of promise. You have no hope. If the Lord hadn't appeared to Paul in Acts 18 and told him the mystery of the gospel, not the mystery which is the gospel, but the mystery of the gospel, then we still wouldn't have had a hope. Because Israel's gone. No Israel to provoke to jealousy no more. Now, Matthew chapter 11. A question has come up. Now, we just go for time's sake. Verse 7, and as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitude concerning John. Well, they are they talking about John the Baptist? Is this, anybody got red letter? Is this red letter? All right. Now, verse 10. And for this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. We read that in Malachi, didn't we? Chapter 3, verse 1. You can't find that in Isaiah. That's in Malachi. Now, verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven surfaced violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, the message that John had, repent and be baptized. Preparing the way for the Lord. How? Water baptism. Identify in water baptism. Identify with the Messiah that's a coming in water baptism. I got a question. Did John the Baptist baptize Jesus Christ? Yeah, he did. I mean, it's in your Bible. It's written down in your Bible. Why did John baptized Jesus Christ?
Fulfill the law.
Do what?
He was a Jew too, and Jesus came under the law.
Did Jesus Christ confess his sins?
No. He didn't have no sin. The sign then.
Why did he baptize?
What do these people tell you today when you get water baptized? That you got to confess your sins, don't they? You believe Jesus Christ was a sinner?
No.
Beloved, if Jesus Christ had any sin, we still ain't got a Savior. That's why your new translations in Luke 2:32 changed his Joseph to be the father of Jesus. Well, if Joseph is the father of Jesus, Jesus needed a Savior. You know why? Because he had the same poison blood that we got from Adam in him. But Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. Matthew chapter 2. His name is Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Jehovah's Witness don't believe that. They believe that Jesus Christ is one of his angels.
Yeah, the good thing about Jesus being baptized, when John baptized and they brought to a close the law that was in the righteousness that was in the law at that time, they brought it to a close.
Well, he fulfilled the righteousness. Yep. The law didn't come to a close until it was nailed to the cross. Let me show you how you know that. Hold Matthew chapter 11 and Matthew 13 and go to Matthew chapter 3. Might as well take John chapter 1 again while you're at it.
Now, in the context of Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptist is baptizing. Verse 1, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Go to verse 6. And were all baptized of John in Jordan, confessing their sins. Those that were baptized, were they confessing their sins?
Yes.
Come down to verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him, and John forbid, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Jesus answering, said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And when Jesus was baptized, was Jesus baptized of John? To do what? To fulfill all righteousness. Well, beloved, are they still under the law?
Yes.
Go to Matthew 19. Is chapter 19 after Matthew 3? Does 19 come before 3?
No.
No, it comes afterwards. Now, there's a question. Verse 16. And behold, one came and said to him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto them, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. What, is he still keeping the commandments?
Yeah.
Well, is he a debtor to do all the law?
Yeah.
If you offend in one point, you're guilty of all, the Bible says. In the book of James and other places. Now, verse 18, he said to him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now listen, there ain't nobody in here you can handle verse 19. Now is it? I see this on people's doors, I see it in their yards, love thy neighbors thyself. And I know some of them don't love me. And some of them I don't love. So I'm guilty of all the law. Go to Romans, whole Matthew 11 and 17. We'll get back there. Go to Romans and let's look at some. Romans chapter 10. You see, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are still Old Testament, and they're still under the old law. But why was Jesus baptized? I'm going to show you in just a minute. Now, in Romans 10, verse 1, brethren, my heart, and this is the Apostle Paul writing to those who first trusted in Christ, and they are in the body of Christ. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believe it. Go to chapter 3. Chapter 3. All right, in Romans chapter 3, verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, Paul writing, but now the righteousness of God without the law. When was the righteousness of God without the law made manifest?
Acts 9.
Through the Apostle Paul after Acts 9. You understand?
go to Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 14. Now we're just breaking into the context of these things. You can go home on your study time and study the whole chapters. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make of himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Go to Colossians. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, chapter 2. Verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Has God forgive us all our trespasses?
Amen.
Well, certainly he has. What is the trespasses against? It's against God's law, beloved. And where there is no law, there's no transgression. Romans chapter 4, verse 15 says. So in here, the law is done away with. But these people in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are still subject to the law. Now, in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, and you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, doing what?
Nailing
it to his cross. The law was done away at the cross. Go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Now I know Jesus Christ was baptized, and there is a reason. And you'll find it in John chapter 1. Verse 29. John 1, 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming to him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me. For he was before me. He's talking about Jesus Christ now. I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. Why did John baptize Jesus Christ?
Manifest.
To make him manifest to Israel. Exactly what Paul said in Acts chapter 13, verse 24. You understand? Now, go back to Matthew chapter 11 and Matthew chapter 17 that you're holding. So, when John the Baptist baptized people back here, they were identified with Jesus Christ. You understand? There is no water in Romans to Philemon. And I don't give a flip who tells you that there's water in the book of Romans chapter 6. He is blind. Spiritually blind. Romans chapter 6 is as dry as this floor is right here. There ain't nobody pouring the water on the floor here. No, Romans chapter 6 is spiritual baptism. We're spiritually baptized. We're a spiritual body. We're spiritual believers. We're not looking for this earth. Our prayer is not the so-called Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come. I'm already in the kingdom of his dear son, according to the Bible. I'm already quickened. Y'all did read the word in Colossians. Quickened together with him. You know what the word quickened means? Made alive. Beloved, when Jesus Christ died at Calvary, I died with him. Well, if I died with him, I was buried with him. If I was buried with him, I was resurrected with him. And when he ascended up, I ascended up with him based on God's foreknowledge knowing that I would trust Christ as my personal Savior. And if you have, you are already there in the throne room with God Almighty, spiritually baptized into His body. Listen, when His body came up, the whole, He didn't leave part of it down there in the heart of the earth. He brought it every bit out of there. So how do I identify with the Lord today? Not in water baptism. I identify with Him in His death, burial, and resurrection. I am in His death. I'm in His burial. I'm in His resurrection spiritually. Paul told me in Romans chapter 6, and he told you in verse 11, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. How? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. What did He do? When He died at Calvary, beloved, He was my sin. He became my sin. He became what I deserved and still deserve. But He took it on Him. God made Him to be sin for me. He who knew no sin, that we that believe might, and I'm putting some words in there, and I'm not changing the Bible, but that we that believe might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And you can't earn that. I didn't deserve it when He did it for me, and I still don't deserve it, but bless golly, God has blessed me with all spiritual blessings, and He can't undo that, regardless of what I am. He can't undo it. Now, back to this thing about John the Baptist. Matthew chapter 11, Matthew 17, verse 14. Matthew 11, 14. And if you will receive it, well, I suspect that would include water baptism, wouldn't you? Wasn't John preaching water baptism, repentance and water baptism? And if you will receive it, this is a life which was far to come. Well, now, let's just, is that a red letter?
Yeah.
Go to chapter 17. And Jesus Christ has taken Peter, James, and John up on the mountain. He's been transfigured before their eyes, and they see Moses and Elijah up there talking with the Lord. And when they come down, Jesus Christ tells them to tell the vision to no man. Huh? Don't tell nobody about this thing? How long they got to keep it shut? Huh? Well, I mean, everybody in the world, they're telling everybody in the world now, ain't they? Let's look at this thing here. Verse 9, and as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. If He got to rise from the dead, then they can go tell the vision that they saw Moses and Elijah up there. They didn't see Moses and Enoch up there. Moses and Elijah. You got people that believe the two witnesses in Revelation chapter 11 of Moses and Enoch. It ain't. It's Moses and Elijah. Here's John the Baptist in the spirit and power of Elias back here if they had received his message. But they didn't. John 1 verse 11, he came to his own. His own received him? What? Not. His own received him not. Now, in John 17, verse 9 again, and as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision of no man till the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. His disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes, not the scribe, you understand? Scribes is more than one. Moses and Elijah. This is written down in Isaiah and Malachi. Why then say the scribe that Elias must first come? Well, that's a good question. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias has come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they list. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was in the spirit and power of Elias if they would have received it. If they had received John's message, then bless your soul, there wouldn't have been no church, the body of Christ. You know what would have happened?
Kingdom.
The tribulation would have started. The 7-year time of Jacob's trouble, prophesied in your Bible. Jeremiah chapter 30 verse 7, it's a time of Jacob's trouble. But he, Jacob, shall be saved out of it. If you will study what Paul, and I can't leave out Romans to Philemon and teach you this class. So God interrupted this thing here, back here. He set it aside and ushered in a dispensation that was committed to the Apostle Paul. Go to 1 Corinthians and let me show you something. 1 Corinthians. I apologize, it's chapter 9. I forgot to tell you what chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I apologize. I ain't got too much in mind no how. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 16. For though I preach the gospel. Well, what gospel is Paul preaching? You got any idea? Paul's not preaching the gospel that John preached. He's not preaching the gospel that Jesus Christ preached. He's not preaching the gospel that the 12 apostles preached. He's preaching the gospel that the Lord Jesus Christ gave him. And on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, and after Acts 9, Paul left and was gone for 3 years. And I suspect that like a lot of these Old Testament prophets back here that met with the Lord, Paul met with the Lord for 3 years. He verifies that in the book of Galatians. After 3 years, he returned. Acts 13, he sent forth him and Barnabas by the Holy Spirit for the work that he had them to do. They preached the gospel of Christ. Listen, beloved. The Apostle Paul could not have preached the gospel that Paul had. He did not preach the gospel that Peter had. The only thing that Peter and Paul preached the same as was resurrection. And Peter preached in Acts 2 the resurrection to sit on the throne of his father David at the second coming, which is prophesied back here. This in here is a mystery. It was not made known to anybody until revealed to the Apostle Paul. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, so Paul is preaching the gospel of Christ. He's the first preacher to preach that Christ died for your sins. Now, verse 16, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward, but if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Was something committed to Paul? Is it called the gospel of Christ? Look at it. Verse 18. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ. Do you know what the gospel of Christ is?
Beloved, if you don't know, how can you be saved? Paul said in 2 Corinthians, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. In whom? The God of this world. That's a little g. Satan. Y'all know where God is right now?
Far above.
Y'all know where God is right now?
Far above all heavens.
He's back in his throne room. Jesus Christ left here. God, John 1:14. The Word was made, John 1, verse 14. The Word was made flesh, dwelt among us. Who was the Word? God Almighty. Now, watch what he says here. Verse 18. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. What is the gospel that Paul preached to these people? Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. Not going to be. By which you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, lest you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. Acts 9. Paul received that gospel. For I delivered unto you first of all, verse 3, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Well, beloved, that is the gospel which is the power of God unto salvation today. And it was committed to Paul. Now, who is this light back here that John bear witness of? Appreciate you asking. Go to John chapter 9, and I'll show you who it is. John chapter 9. Look at verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. His disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Was John the Baptist sent to bear witness of that light? Go back to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world. The world was made by him. The world knew him not. Now, if you got a problem with who this is, go to Colossians chapter 1. Hold John, go to Colossians chapter 1. Was this light that came into the world, did God make everything by him?
Yes.
That's what he just said, didn't he? In Colossians chapter 1. Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath, that's past tense, hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of saints in light. Well, we're not saints of darkness.
I'm a child of light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Are my sins forgiven?
Yes.
Lord, have mercy. How many times has God got to tell me that? You know, my sins ain't my problem. People's sins ain't their problem today. Their unbelief is their problem.
Amen.
The same as Israel's problem throughout the beginning of the time, they did not believe God. Now, let's get on with it here now. Verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God? Is Jesus Christ, the Son, the image of the invisible God? The firstborn of every creature. Now, verse 16. For by him were all things created. By who? The Son. By him were all things created. Flip back to John chapter 1. Verse 10. He was in the world. The world was made by him. And the world knew him not. Well, that light is the Son. Who is the Son? He's the image of the invisible Father. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You understand? Philippians comes to my mind. Verse chapter 3, verse 20. Turn if you want to. Our conversation is in heaven. From whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. You see these pictures of this, this thing what people call the picture of Jesus? We don't know what he looks like now. That's possibly the Antichrist. Hey, I'm serious with you. If you'll check the book of Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and other places, you'll find out that there's no beauty that we should desire him. But you won't find out about Satan. Satan was created in beauty. Very desirable. All sorts of precious stones and jewels. Beautiful looking character. I always wondered, and I don't pay too much attention to Hollywood's junk, but I do get entertained by some of the old cowboy movies, but these new ones, I don't watch them. But every time they pick out a character to play Jesus, it's always a beautiful, well-skinned person, long, pretty hair, ain't got no crooked toenails, and ain't got fingers of missing. Just beautiful, you know. Ain't got no bad teeth and all kind of stuff. How do you know what Jesus Christ? Paul told you, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, check it out. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Beloved, they knew him back here. They were with him back here. And Jesus Christ in the book of John said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Listen, this character here that we're talking about is God Almighty himself. Go to Matthew chapter 2 and Luke chapter 1. Matthew chapter 2. Luke chapter 1. Verse in the Matthew 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and there came and are come to worship him. Now,
verse 5, and they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, talking about the coming of Jesus Christ, and behold, verse 6, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least of the princes of among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people, the church, the body of Christ. No, my people who? Israel, beloved Jesus Christ, came to his own. His own received him not. Now, where we stopped there, I'm not going to get into it this morning, but I want you to think about the next verse in John chapter 1. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. He didn't give you that power. Do you know, according to Luke chapter 20, for them to become the sons of God, they got to die? They knew they were going to go into the tribulation over here, and then when they resist the mark of the beast, the Antichrist, and they deny that, they lose their life over here. But then they will find it at the second coming when the Lord will bring salvation to them. When the fountain of blood that was shed at Calvary will be opened to them, according to Zechariah and other passages. But right now in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that is not doctrine to the church, the body of Christ today. That is doctrine for his own people, Israel. They rejected him. They said, we'll have no king but Caesar. In John 19 and in Matthew 26, they said, his blood be on us and on our children, and they ought not have said that. You know what? They asked the king back here in the book of Samuel, and Samuel was mad at them, and God said, no, they ain't rejected you, they rejected me. Said, give them that king, but tell them what he's going to do. And you know what them characters said back there? We don't care what he does. We want him anyhow. We want to be like everybody else. Everybody else. Well, does that make everybody right because everybody acts like everybody else? No. Beloved, only those that are righteous will go to heaven. And our righteousness is according to his righteousness, not your self-righteousness. All our self-righteousness are as filthy rags, this Bible says. We're not through with the lesson this morning, but my time's up.